Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
I love it. We're going to have an illuminating discussion. This is Daniel Gutierrez, and I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. I'm so glad to be back. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and it seems like years. And so, Johnny, how'd it go?
Went great. You know, it was great. Listeners, our guests were always fantastic. Lots of callers that provided a point of view. You really missed out, Daniel. I'm sure you much rather would have been with us than hanging out in Peru on the top of Machu Picchu. With your handsome young man, Aaron. Tell us about it.
Oh, my gosh. It was an incredible trip. There were 20 people who traveled with me this time. And it was amazing. I mean, the culmination of the trip, the point of interest, the excitement of the entire trip is always Machu Picchu. It's always about going and seeing the ruins. Having been for many years one of the seven wonders of the year of the world, a place where people want to go and see for themselves this beautiful place that the Incas inhibited. Actually, it was built way before the Incas. The Incas took over. And beautiful place. You know, I've been going for almost 8 years, you know, sometimes two or three times a year. And so I have a lot of experience of going there, but I never have climbed Machu Picchu. Now, to give you a little bit of education for those of you listening in, Machu Picchu means old peak or old mountain. The picture that we all see of the ruins in front of a mountain is not Machu Picchu. That is Huanu Picchu, which is new peak or new mountain. And that is the picture everyone always sees and says, oh, wow, that's beautiful. But behind that photo, behind that person taking that photo, is Huanu Picchu, is Machu Picchu, which is old peak. And that the actual ruins sit at 6,750 feet. Machu Picchu summits at another 2,000 feet, almost 10,000 feet. So if you really want to get a view and you really want to get on top of the mountain, you have to climb a vertical stairway, so to speak, kind of, all the way to the top of Machu Picchu. And that's only 700 people a day are allowed to go up. And you have to check in and check out because they want to know everybody got back down. And in all the time I've been going, Johnny, I've never attempted to go up. And this time I did because my 13-year-old son Aaron was with me. And let me tell you something, it was brutal. I mean, to say the least. I mean, I have a little bit of pseudo gout in one knee and plantar fasciitis on the other foot. So to say the least, the pain was more than unbearable. I think at a certain point, I passed out and still walked all the way down. I just didn't know it. But it was an amazing experience to reach the top of that summit. Aaron, my son, went up with a couple other kids. He was around the third one to summit the mountain that morning. An hour up and 30 minutes down. It took me about 2 hours up and 2.5 hours down. So it took me a while. But, you know, the point is that anybody can climb that mountain if they take their time. And there's a lot to be said about understanding inner power when you're faced with something like that. Because when you're climbing a mountain, no matter who you're with, it's all you. Mm-hmm. And so it was really exciting, Johnny, to do that, primarily because, as you know, I came back even more motivated than I ever have before. I'm going back in a couple of weeks. And by the way, just so you know, I will not be climbing up to Machu Picchu again. Been there, done it, did it.
Not this year. Not
this year. But I will be doing it again. And I will actually get in shape before I do it. I have to tell you, the next day I couldn't even do stairs. I was in so much pain. You know, and it wasn't my knees. The pain that was costing me more grief than my knee and my foot was the thighs. And so it was just amazing. You know, it was just too much. Anyway, the reason I say I was motivated was because I really, you know, you and I have been talking about for a while that it would be an incredible opportunity to take an executive group. And when we say executive, you know, we're talking about anywhere from, you know, your C-suite level down to upper senior management, you know, to Machu Picchu as a group and climb that mountain together. Because one of the things that I realized climbing up there was that everything that ailed me or that slowed me down or that could have stopped me came up. Everything. Because you get into a position where almost, for lack of better terms, you face your demons.
Right.
You know, and you have to deal with them. And so, you know, you and I talked yesterday, and we're kind of, you know, putting the cart before the horse, but we're going to, you know, I want to say it anyway, is that we're going to plan a trip for next year. I want to call it, you know, I think we're a five-star, I mean, really doing Peru from a different perspective for executives and taking time to learn about inner understanding, you know, inner intuitive leadership,
right.
Really understanding what is it about us as individuals that would stop us in our worlds back home. A lot of times we don't know, Johnny. We don't know until we're faced with it, you know, and sometimes we're never faced with it, and that's the peril. I think sometimes with upper management is that they're never faced with the fight or flight that maybe lower management is because they're protected by layers and layers and layers of people. But when they themselves are put in that situation, they get to find out where their blind spots are. And that's a gift. So anyway, what I'm trying to get at is it was a wonderful trip. I had a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to going back in a couple of weeks with a different group. And I'm looking forward even more so as Johnny and I get together in the next week or so to discuss the details. And those of you that are listening that are looking to probably go with us, this is going to fill up fast. And we'll be putting this thing up. I would venture that it will be up in the next 60 days. It will be up, ready to go, ready for registrations, and ready to. Now, remember, here's the good thing about signing up for a class of any kind, whether it be executive or whether it's a church or whatever. The seminar or the class starts when you sign up because that's when your stuff starts to come up. Do I really want to go? Should I spend that kind of money? Everything. Those are the things you got to deal with. And so I always tell people the seminar doesn't start when you go. The seminar starts when you think you want to go because all the stuff comes up about whether you can afford it, take off the time, should I take my children, should I blah, 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 blah. And that's where we get a chance to work with each other to strengthen our resolve of our internal understanding and how we can use that intuitiveness to drive our businesses, drive our corporations, or drive our significant others, to drive our employees into higher levels of I'm going to stop there. So anyway, Johnny, it was a good trip. I got my
so
foot in my mouth, and there's no way out.
You came back energized. You forgot some of the English language while you were there as well, it appears.
Yeah, because I was speaking Spanish the whole time.
Right. No, I think actually that the thing that you do mention, and we can get on topic here, but the trip that we're taking next year, the executive trip, the five-star trip, I think is going to be wonderful. And the intent, other than this show, is to actually formally announce it in next month when we're in New York City at the Alpha event. And so
yes.
I'm assuming that the spots will fill up quick, but how fun is that going to be? Especially if you've never, if you've never experienced Peru at a five-star level, which I certainly never have.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, and we'll get on about the 15 diseases of leadership. Next month, for those of you that listen in from New York City, on August 7th, Alpha, the Association of Latino Professionals in Finance and Accounting, alpha.org, I'll be doing a keynote speech there to executives on intuitive leadership. Johnny and I will both be there. And if you're in the New York area and we'd love to, you know, we have time if there's an opportunity for us to meet with you, sit down and or maybe you're interested in this trip. I mean, when you're addressing 1,000 executives and only have 20 spots, we really do feel that this is going to be something that fills up rather quickly. But on top of that, as you well know, we do a lot of leadership training and consulting, and we want you to take advantage of the fact that we're both going to be together in New York City for those few days and there for you. So today we're talking about an interesting topic. You know, again, we're still on the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis, and Gary Hamel with the Business Review did such an awesome job of interviewing the Pope. And actually, Johnny, I've lately have seen so much great content come from Pope Francis. And so today we're really just kind of talking about that double life, you know, that hypocrisy that an individual leader might live, the emotional or progressive emotional emptiness that a person begins to have when a title or money or power no longer fills them. And I want to give you a little bit of perspective in my life, and Johnny, I'd love to hear yours. You know, I took a break. You know, I thought it was 4 years. It's 5 years. I took a break from corporate and from working with corporate and speaking in corporate gigs because I felt like, you know, I was making great money. I was president of an organization in New York. I was doing well. But I was really empty. Nothing. There just didn't seem to be anything that seemed to fill the hole of needing to find that peace and tranquility, that fulfillment I was looking for. And I think that's what he's talking about here. I mean, you may have a different take on this particular disease, Johnny, but I know that's a trap that a lot of people get into, at least in America. I'm sure it happens all over the world, of there's never enough. And, you know, when you get into that space, you no longer, you know, customers and ordinary employees no longer do it for you anymore. So what do you do? I mean, you're kind of new out of corporate. I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, I think I think that today's topic is perfect. It talks about bureaucratic leadership and when you start to lose sight of, you know, where your bread's buttered, which is it talks about the customer, the client, and ultimately the employee. And it's so difficult that when you're in the middle of the craziness, to be able to step back, the old saying, see the forest through the trees, and realize that it's happening to you, right? So in the spirit of, you know, overusing analogies, it's like the frog in the boiling water. And as it begins, you know, as the behaviors start to change, and it may look like, you know, and it happens a lot of, in a lot of times in companies that as they grow and get bigger and people progress through the normal, or they go through the normal progression of promotions and take on additional responsibilities, bigger titles, it's that the only way you can ever truly stay close to what the customer and the client want is not through sitting in the four walls of some type of headquarters or corporate building anywhere. And it truly is going out, engaging, and I think it's even a level above and beyond going out, shaking hands, and kissing babies. Because there's all sorts of companies out there that CEOs, CFOs, C-suite level, and even any executive level, where they show up in the store, they show up in the building or whatever type of business it is, and everyone comes in, they put their best dress on, their best shirt, their best tie, they show up in their best behavior and behave as if, you know, we ran the business like this every day. It does two things. One, it gives a false sense of how the organization is truly running their leadership, right, and makes them feel safe when they go back and park themselves in their office behind their really fancy and cool desk. And the other thing that it does is the downside of it is it gives the perception to the employees that the executives who may have showed up with very good intentions, truly wanting to understand what's taking place in the employee environment and the customer environment, it cheats the executives of that experience. So as you progress in your career and you take on additional responsibilities, inevitably what happens quite often is they're not in the field. And my advice, probably a little early in the show giving advice, but I would tell you that it's not only about going out and showing up physically in these environments. It's going out, rolling your sleeves up with the folks who report directly to you at whatever level you deem is appropriate, rolling your sleeves up and say, I would like to do the job alongside with you. You know, one of the most popular TV shows on right now is Undercover Boss. Right? And, of course, it's like any show you're going to see on TV. You know, some of it's a little
bit
aggressive.
The one that Donald Trump forgot to take.
Right, right, yeah, right. But you see things like that. But inevitably, when leaders actually choose to schedule, whether it's once a quarter, whether it's biannually, regardless of how often it is, when leaders choose to say, I'm going to go hang with my team, let's just say in a corporate environment, sit in their cube, say, walk me through a day in the life. Teach me how to do the things that you do. Or if it's out in, you know, whether it's in a retail environment or whatever it is, shoulder to shoulder and dig in deep, you never gain any insights more appropriate than you would by experience. Not to mention the unintended consequence, which is incredibly positive, is you build relationships in these fields and show that, one, not only are you human, right? Yes, you happen to have a title and you may drive a really nice car, but not only are you a human being, but you're one of them. You're willing to roll up your sleeves. You're willing to get out there, and you're willing to do the work. And I think that that's part of the challenge that we have today is because in a world where everything is about reducing costs in order to make profits because everything is going so much faster, whether it's online or technology is doing so much more, leaders are looking to find more efficient ways to do it. And sometimes more efficient means less human resources, which means we have leaders that are even more time poor, which means they're actually out with the clients, the consumers, and their employees on a less frequent basis, and that's a very, very high risk and dangerous place to be for any executive, in any organization, in my opinion, Dan.
Yeah, I think you got something, Johnny, when you talk about Undercover Boss. I mean, the one thing I really appreciated about that was that when it first came out, nobody really knew it was happening. I mean, it was very impactful because I think we do lose sight of who we are, what we are, what we're there for, behind the greed of power and money. And when you sit down, I remember many, many, many years ago, and you may remember this person, Johnny. His name was Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting back in an inventory, and I had just gotten a browbeating from the chairman of the board and financial guy at Best Buy about losing $1 million a month in revenue, and I remember going back to, of course I was motivated, going back and sitting down with this young man and asking him, what do you like doing? And I don't know if you remember what his reply was. What, if he could do anything he could possibly do, what would he be doing? And his answer to me was, oh, I'd have a bakery. And it shocked me because this kid was really at one time heavily into gangs and you know, mm-hmm. just not the kind of guy that you would have said you would have had answered that, the bakery. And so I said to him, I said, that's interesting. What a bakery, what would you make? And he said, I make the best peach cobbler in the world. And I went, you got to be kidding me. So anyway, as the story goes, he ended up making the peach cobbler, and it did end up being the best I ever had. But what ended up happening, Johnny, was that I was able to help him manage the inventory the way he would manage his bakery. All of a sudden, where this kid had absolutely no motivation to do much more than just show up for work and do his job, he was very motivated to understand how the job was being done and then show us the improvements. I mean, he ended up making a lot of improvements that I think were very important to the company and at least to that particular location. So I think that you're right. The taking the time, we shouldn't need a reality show to do that. And
right.
And I think, Johnny, you probably have some executives right now going, where do you think I'm going to find that time?
That's right. And
folks,
I think in your case, it's the same and it's different. It's people. It's easy for people to say, yeah, but Daniel was in the same four walls as this employee. I'm sorry.
Right.
If you're the senior leader of a corporation, or you have a corporate office, you know, you probably have, you know, 50, 100, hundreds, thousands of employees there, And wherever your biggest pain point is, that's where I'd go hang out in time. And rather than going in there with all the answers, I would make a point to go in there with all the questions. And I do remember that, Daniel, actually, that scenario. You and I have been dear friends for a long time. And in Cleveland's case, the difference, and I think if you were to ask Cleveland, that was probably a milestone in his personal development because it did two things. One, it showed that the boss's boss's boss is open-minded, vulnerable, and willing to train, teach, and be willing to taught as well. And I know that for those who don't know how the story ended, it turned out to be one of Best Buy's biggest successes.
Yep.
When Daniel turned this thing around, and it was through his people. And Daniel, we're always good about not taking a lot of credit for it, but in my mind, it's the more you can engage. It's like the statement you hear me use frequently is the wisdom resides with those closest to the customer, and that's always true. Now, those closest to the customer may not understand all the minutiae that sits behind some of the decision making, nor do they always need to. But if you stop long enough, help them understand where some of the decisions are coming from, allow them to provide a point of view. I'm also a big believer that somewhere in between, there's always a better solution than the space you're in right now. And if leaders can find the space, and that's why I think it's ironic you bring up the Peru, the executive trip to Peru, these are the kinds of things we're going to hang out and talk about, share best practices, and just have dialogue around. And that's a great example with you in Cleveland, Daniel. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, when I think about doing Peru, the interesting thing about that is that a no-structure type of event where creativity is allowed to surface to the top, I think is so important. And one of the things that you'll find about Peru when you get a chance to go, Johnny, is that you really do step back in time. All of the luxuries of what we're used to seeing in our modern-day world just aren't there. They just aren't there. It's a third-world country. Beautiful as all get out. But when you first lay eyes on the Sacred Valley, even Cusco, once capital of the Inca Empire, it does something to you. It releases all the worries that you may have shown up with. And by the way, for those of you that think you're going to bring your Blackberries, they don't work. So good, That's the other thing I like about Peru. I mean, and if it does, you can get them to work. But we hope that if you decide to come with us, that you'll put it down for just a little while. But anyway, so Johnny, I'm interested in, since I've been gone a little bit, and we haven't really had a chance to talk about what you do and how things are progressing in your world. I mean, how's things coming for you, and how do people engage you in their companies? Because I think that the insight that you have, having played the role that a lot of the people listening today have played, is really important.
Thanks for asking, Daniel. I think this conversation today is pertinent. I just had a conversation earlier with the gentleman who was had been looking at the website, and he was an executive for a very large organization in the United States. And we spent an hour. We were just going to do a quick introduction. An hour and 15 minutes later, we were on the phone talking about all the attributes that go on leadership and the craziness of the world today. And it was just, this is what you and I do allows us to meet like some of the coolest people on the planet.
Yep.
And for those who
remember Patch Adams,
right? We had a great time with Patch Adams, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
He's quite the unique gentleman by all stretches. But if you haven't been with to the website yet, livingwithpurpose.today, I am very, very blessed to work with some of the brightest people on the globe. And whether it's the consulting services that we offer to businesses, whether it be a small business, startup, even Fortune 50 companies, working with all size businesses and offering a full suite of services and capabilities, or whether it's the leadership and development, the well-known curriculum that we offer. So many of you have heard of Jim Collins, Stephen Covey. We've got one of the greatest trainers in the country that does a lot of their work. And then, of course, we have our own curriculum where we go in and we spend a lot of time around the employee engagement piece, around the culture, around the value of human beings and evaluating how you do things, whether it's operationally or whether it's subjectively, And then, of course, the coaching end of the business, which I absolutely love, you know, and I know you could appreciate this, Dan, whether it's, you know, clients we have in Dubai, or I had a company I worked with this week out in Germany, met with three amazing leaders there who we may be doing some business over in Europe soon with that group. And it's whether it's investment firms, whether it's retailers, whether it's large corporations or even other consulting companies. We do a lot of work with large consulting companies. And Living with Purpose is actually doing wonderful, Daniel. I appreciate you asking. And then the fact that, you know, we're doing some of these leadership retreats and things of that nature. And then the radio shows, I mean, is just gravy. So to say we're busy would be a gross understatement. But you can never be too busy. With the overall tenet of Living with Purpose is the company keeps just enough to pay the bills, and all the rest of the profits and proceeds go to those less fortunate in various areas across the globe and nonprofits. So we don't, you know, we market it, but we don't want to lead with that because we don't want people to think we're using it as a marketing ploy. But on the other end, the reason we built Living with Purpose and it's called as such is because we believe that giving back is the most important thing we can do. So thank you for asking again, Daniel, and I welcome the phone calls, the emails, and of course, the support they've received thus far. But thanks.
Good stuff. You bet. All right. So next week, folks, we're going to be talking about the disease of gossiping, grumbling, and backbiting. And I got to tell you, in all my experience of in leadership, both in and out of corporate settings, this is the one that I never understood. This is the one that really is the killer of all great leaders. Because eventually it comes back to get you. And so listen in next week as we discuss that disease of gossiping, grumbling, and backbiting, because I think it is the reason why some companies don't get ahead. Everyone thinks that someone's out to get them. The truth is that nobody thinks about you that much. So
right.
As always, we'd love to hear from you. 347-677-1965. You can give us a call. You can go to our websites. You can do a lot of things, social media. We're always on social media. We'd love to hear from you. I want to remind you again that on August 7th, Friday, August 7th, we will be in New York City. Now, as a matter of fact, it looks like we may have to broadcast our show from New York City. But nonetheless, we will be there. And if there's a great opportunity for us to sit down with you and talk with you face-to-face or just with Johnny or myself, whatever works, we'd love to do that. Until then, have a beautiful, blessed day, and we look forward to having you listen to our show next week.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.